Crypto.com made headlines when they announced partnership with the government of Dubai to pay for governmental services with crypto.
What we're hoping to do is some community kind of crypto and coffee meetups, these types of things with Crypto.com. It's like a community building exercise here. And so more to come there. This is something I'm hoping to kind of get off the ground and just have more after the good momentum we have from our event to keep driving just the community engagement, because that was, you know, such a good chance, and to see all the people that really love working with us and using our services in one place. Mm-hmm. We have the right licenses, products, security, compliance controls that anyone from mature financial institution, government entity, or any kind of retail institution would want to work with us because of mm-hmm. that. So we've from day one invested heavily in compliance and security.
Where do you think all of this kind of moving, you know, from the biggest companies? So, for instance, what I noticed, something that we have here in the region is a lot of transactions, M&A, right?
Right. Yeah.
So we had tungsten from our dear friend Jose.
Yes.
That was bought over, I think it's the process of completing, with Zodia, right? We had Deribit recently sold to Coinbase. Yeah. We had Binance getting an investment from a sovereign wealth fund, or one of the entities close to the sovereign. So how do you see this, you know, because we were talking, you make very nice, you mentioned the merger between the real world, traditional world, crypto, Web3 world, coming together. Is TradFi going to take over Web3 crypto? Is crypto going to be slowly eating up Web3? What are your thoughts? Yeah. Not speculating about what crypto.com, but what are your thoughts, especially maybe in light of all of these significant transactions? Yeah.
Download the app and I'll pay you there. But it's exactly what you see people doing it that are freelancers and entrepreneurs. And this kind of connects to what we were discussing. Pay is paying in crypto might not be for everyone right now, but those people who are natively working and getting paid in crypto, this is a great option, because it lets them, you know, save on fees. They don't have to transfer into fiat and things. So it just lets them work with, you know, an asset class they're already very comfortable with.
How did this amazing achievement, I mean, I know when I saw the headline, Dubai government, crypto.com, you can, at least how it said, you know, in the initial headlines, you can pay with crypto. How did that magic happen?
You cannot get more crypto than crypto.com.
Yeah, I think it was very, I mean, I think it went viral everywhere. So how did this happen? Today, we have the general manager of crypto.com, Tariq Erk, and we talked about stable coins, CBDC, what crypto.com is doing in the region and globally, key partnerships that they have achieved, either with the government of Dubai or, for instance, with Standard Chartered, a traditional finance established institution, one of the most amazing podcasts we had. Really a pleasure. Today, I'm here, Anton Golub, with my co-host, Dr. Demetrio Zamboglu. I hope you will have a blast, and I know you will have a blast, and welcome to the show, and like and subscribe to the channel, and let's go. So, Tariq, welcome to the show. Really great to have you. And we have a lot to discuss. I think in the preparation for the podcast, we touched upon some very interesting topics.
I think we covered everything.
I think we actually should have recorded the preparation, you know. But first of all, to tell you, big congratulations to Crypto.com, you and your team.
Thank you
for the
much.
Amazing news that we recently heard with the Dubai government. So really big congratulations. I think, Demetrios, we would love to hear details, if possible, about that and our audience.
We need to hear what happened behind the closed doors. How did you do it, actually? Yeah. I mean, people want to know.
But first, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me. I mean, I've been a fan of the podcast here and always thought, okay, the production quality is so good. The guest quality is amazing. I don't know why the hosts are great. I don't know why you invited me. I'm not probably up to par there, but it's a really exciting time for crypto.com. I mean, of course, globally, but you know, I look after Middle East and Africa as our regional GM, and a lot of hard work that went into securing licenses here, setting up operations, building a team, banking relationships, and now activating partnerships is kind of what's led to this. And there's a lot we can do, and we're really just getting started. I mean, we've been live and operational for just over a year since securing our operational permit with Vara. And
that was the full exchange license, yeah?
Full exchange license, nice. Broker-dealer, and a few other services as well. So, I mean, when we're looking to come into a market, and this is our kind of regional hub, we want to offer as many services we can in a regulated way. So as you know, crypto.com has an exchange app, card product, pay platform. So we want to do it as much as we can here to reach, as you know, the widest customer base that we can.
Awesome. And how did this amazing achievement, I mean, I know when I saw the headline, Dubai government, crypto.com, you can, at least how it said, you know, in the initial headlines, you can pay with crypto. How did that magic happen?
You cannot get more crypto than crypto.com.
Yeah, I think it was very, yeah. I mean, I think it went viral everywhere. So how did this happen? Yeah,
yeah. So I think where there's the initiative for the Dubai and UAE cashless kind of efforts here, and crypto is a perfect partner with that, just as an asset class in general. So I think the headline is probably flashier than reality, where it's just giving consumers another option to pay for services, and being able to do this with Dubai government and mm-hmm. hopefully a lot more partners is just giving another choice, where you see the card schemes, you have Visa and MasterCard, and you might have Apple Pay, Stripe, and these kinds of options, and crypto.com pay will be there. And this is a big kind of global push for us. Mm-hmm. And this crypto cycle, it's been interesting, where I've been working in the space since 2017, and mm-hmm. you know, crypto payments has always been yeah. a topic of interest, but now the partners that we're seeing be interested and want to get involved in the space, they're really keen on pay, and that's an amazing thing to see. So we're putting a lot of resources and effort into growing that to be as successful as possible.
Can you discuss a little bit about how did this corporation begin? I mean, did you go to the government to ask them, would you like to get payments? Did they come to you? Was it maybe an innovation project?
Yeah.
How do you come around for such projects?
Well, so we've been obviously present and operating in the market for some time. And I think if you're looking at different crypto providers in the I think ecosystem, mm-hmm. we have the right, I think, licenses, products, security, compliance controls that anyone from a mature financial institution, government entity, or any kind of retail institution would want to work with us because yeah. of mm-hmm. that. So we've from day one invested heavily in compliance and security. And that makes us.
And your background is in compliance.
Exactly right. So
very nice.
That's where I started my career. You know, I have legal background and joined crypto.com. My first, responsibilities were, you know, help with the Singapore licensing and make sure we can launch and localize our products there. And that expanded to Asia Pacific, Middle East, Africa. And now I'm here in Dubai as in a you know, business role, but fundamentally, you know, I'm responsible for making sure that we're operating a regulated institution in the right way, and we want to do it with the most exciting product offering we can.
Awesome. You touched upon now a little bit, saying that you moved to UAE, to Dubai. So mm-hmm. maybe can you tell us a little bit about your journey, where yeah. you were born, where you grew up? You mentioned you were in Singapore. How did this amazing path came about, and how do you like it here also in the UAE? Huh?
Yeah, so I grew up in Buffalo, New York, which best way to describe it, it's like a big small town, and anyone from Buffalo generally loves being from there and is proud, you know, to this day, from the sports teams to, you know, the family and friends connection we have. It's a really kind of close-knit community, and but with someone who was always really adventurous. I went to Ohio State for university, so I left home at a pretty young age and started my career in New York City, and I was always attracted to, you know, places that are exciting and kind of feel like, you know, I've been lucky, I've been in the right city at the right time for my career and just I think to live. And I started working in crypto in 2017. At the end of the year I joined Paxos. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they had an exchange at the time.
We have some really good friends at Paxos. Yes.
Yeah, same here to this day. have a lot of good friends working there, yeah. and it couldn't have been a better place to start in crypto because they
and were. That was in Singapore, actually.
In New York.
In New York.
Yeah, so it was in the New York City office, actually. And okay. This was one of the early days in regulation for crypto, and the company was doing things right with the BitLicense and Trust Company in New York, and learned basically from the best people possible there. And after about 6 months working there, they floated the idea of, well, how would you think about taking a more global role in Singapore? And you know, my wife,
you
now
got, you got the short stick, how they say in America.
No, I always wanted to live abroad, and Singapore couldn't have been a better place, and it was one of the best decisions of my life. So moved to Singapore, and as I said, you know, I asked my wife now, the girlfriend then, are you up for an adventure? And she said, let's do it. And spent 6 years in Singapore, and that's where I joined crypto.com. But Singapore was also, like how I felt about New York, the right time and place to be, where everybody in the crypto world had a footprint there.
Is the headquarter of crypto.com in Singapore?
Singapore, okay. Yes. Yeah. In Singapore, and you know, I was the third person in the office there, watches no grow from not a very big company to now, of course, yeah, the household name that we are, and yeah, and kind of, you know, ubiquitously known as one of the yeah, top crypto exchanges. But at that time, this was before the regulations came into place with the MAS, so everybody was operating there. Any NFT project to payments company or exchange, and it was amazing to kind of be a part of that community. And that's one of the best things about crypto, and I mean, you guys know this well. It's the people you meet are interesting and brilliant, and it keeps it really exciting, because, you know, if you're working hard all the time, at least it's better when it's with good people. And being part of a growing office there in crypto.com in Singapore, I got to work closely on some of the policy discussions and best practices of running an exchange to get licensed with the MAS, and, you know, looked after markets in Australia and Korea, and then, you know, UAE, Bahrain, and it's expanded a lot.
So your role started from compliance and transitioned to business?
Exactly. Okay. So I think one of the core responsibilities there was representing, you know, what we do to comply with regulations, how we are putting the right controls in place, and essentially representing the organization. In my role was both compliance and government affairs at the time. Mm-hmm. And now in the GM role, I'm still doing a lot of that. So, but, you know, looking after, you know, more commercial aspects and partnerships and marketing and these things that are coming, you know, new to me, but I think it's going okay.
I remember a very unique moment for crypto.com in the early days is when you transition from the original name to crypto.com, and mm-hmm, you yes, mentioned that being on the business side, I guess it was your idea, or perhaps I remember that was a very interesting transaction and a moment, a
big bold move.
Yes, a big bold move, and a good yeah, move, I think, actually, to rebrand. Yeah, actually, let's say it like that.
I mean, just that was just before my time, but okay, so I can't take any credit there, but I mean, it's amazing if you're WhatsApping someone crypto.com, the link for our website generates, and yeah, it just, I think, makes us one of the most recognizable brands. Yes. We've had some studies there where not just crypto or financial services, really any global brand, we're very well recognized.
Can you tell us a bit more about, you mentioned now that we are following now your journey in mm-hmm, Singapore, and
yeah,
then
oh, yeah,
you so had to go again there and talk to your fiance, girlfriend.
Right,
and
say, right.
Let's
okay,
move again.
So the move to Dubai, it was something that was always kind of on my radar. The company had talked to me about this here and there because this was becoming our strategic regional and kind of rest of world hub. And have a long family history here, where 2003, my dad had set up a company here. We came as kids. He had a medical device business that was supplying kind of like basic medical supply needs across the Middle East. So I remember going to JBR when there's really no buildings there. You could drive your car right onto the beach, and it was a totally different place. Yeah. But it was always a city I was fascinated with. And you know, growing up in Buffalo, you know, traveling to Dubai, people thought this was like unheard of. And now to live there, it's something I'm super proud of.
Mm-hmm. So you were preparing your fiancé or girlfriend at the time. Maybe this year we will move. Maybe in this year
yeah,
we will move. So it was slowly preparing for this moment.
Yeah, and you know, spending 6 years in Singapore, have a lot of opportunity to travel and made a lot of good friends. And I was there in the HQ office, so it wasn't an easy decision, but I like and miss that aspect of feeling like you're scaling something. Mm-hmm. And to come here and do that was really a perfect opportunity. And my wife, who is, you know, an entrepreneur in her own right and is starting her own business here in skincare industry and opening up an express facial salon.
Shout out
to Flash Facial at Dubai Hills Mall, opening soon.
What's the name of your fiancée as well?
Her name is Laura.
Shout out to Laura.
Yeah. And this was the perfect place. And I think as people who have been in these international hub cities, it's difficult to settle, to have, you know, more long-term residency and things that you need stability for your family. And Dubai offers that with Golden Visa scheme, and being able to buy a home and have that kind of longer term outlook was exactly what I needed. And it's worked out great, I think, personally and professionally.
It's definitely good to have you here.
100%.
Well, thank you.
And we had in one of our previous episodes, Tolly, who was in Thailand for many years and then decided to move here to UAE. And then when we talked to people, but also to Tolly, there was always this question, Dubai, Abu Dhabi, Ras Al Khaimah. How did that decision, both on a professional side for crypto.com, but also for on the personal side, how did that fit in that in the end you ended up here in Dubai and maybe not in Abu Dhabi, for instance, you know?
Yeah, so we actually, we do have a company that's regulated in the ADGM for more traditional financial services. This was announced maybe a little over six, 7 months ago. Okay. But the reason the setup for Dubai is, of course, the regulatory regime with VARA was most aligned to what are the kind of products that we have. And while we have a very strong institutional offering, you know, one of the biggest exchanges, but our company motto is cryptocurrency in every wallet. So it's really a retail-focused platform, and especially on our app product, is looking to get mass retail adoption. And VARA had the kind of regulatory clarity and scheme that would allow us to kind of be able to have that here.
Okay, I understand. And now going just a little bit back to the initial discussion that we had about the achievement that you had with the Dubai government. Mm-hmm. I was just wanted to backtrack and ask, maybe for our audience to understand, how does it would actually work in practice when I would like to pay, you know, with your service for governmental offerings? So does it mean I have to have in my wallet a stable coin or Bitcoin, and then I tap my phone and then something is paid on the POS device? Like, how does that look like actually? And I think for the audience might be very interesting how the mechanics.
So our pay product is one where you can either use the crypto.com app as our customer, so that's a really easy way to pay, or if you know you have a MetaMask wallet or some kind of other exchange platform, you can pay with it. But it's not just stable coins. Mm. It's any most large market cap digital assets will be available. And then for the merchants that we've onboarded and are supporting with our pay product, it's at their discretion. Yeah. So some can take fully crypto as payment, some can do stable coins or fiat. Yep. But here in the UAE, it will have to be fiat. It'll have to be an AED. That's just what the payment rules prescribe here. So all settlements will be in AED.
So it will bring like a sort of a QR code or connect to a wallet. Mm-hmm. You will scan it, you will select the crypto of your choice, and then it will automatically be converted to AED in the end.
Correct. Okay. And you know, most at this time, I think this is what a lot of merchants will want, because they can be crypto friendly in the sense that they're providing more options for customers to pay, but they don't have to necessarily manage a wallet, any of the price volatility risk. It's just, you know, works no differently than you know, paying with your card or another, you know, payment provider, that they'll be receiving the currency of their choice to settle.
You were in the, I have to say, you know, proudly with the early days of Paxos, which is one of the biggest stablecoin issuer, stablecoin service provider. How was that experience for you? I think they supported many of the big projects, you know,
yeah,
companies in launching their stablecoin. Stablecoin as are very hot. I think yesterday or the other day, yeah, we were at Seamless, which is the biggest payments conference in the region. And we had many questions about what is a stablecoin, how it works, what is a CBD, how, yeah, it works. Are the two fighting each other or they coexist? So coming from your background, we'd love to hear your story, but also I think for the region, but if you have a global perspective as well,
yeah,
it'd be great to hear that. Yeah.
So obviously I was super fortunate to join Paxos when I did. It was also at a time where the company was really growing. It was like buzzing New York office and then same, you know, growing our presence in Singapore when I was there. So absolutely loved my time. And like I said, it was doing it in very early days the right way, really kind of regulatory, like compliance focused, and but also it was just some of the best and brightest people there, and I felt really lucky to be there. And it's you're right when it comes to central bank digital currencies and stable coins, there's some misconceptions there of how it'll be used. You know, I think the media has maybe portrayed these as like you know, doing away with cash for nefarious purposes, but you know, I don't think that. And stable coins themselves are the backing of it is just cash and maybe U.S. Treasuries. Yes, and it's not so exciting, right? You're generating a yield on some of the on the bank deposits and things, but the application is what's exciting. So you can do cross-border payments, remittances at a large scale. So I think crypto in the future for most users will be something they don't even see. It's how their bank is settling transactions in the background. And the story I like to share about stablecoin payments. So very poorly, I'm studying Arabic every Sunday night, and my teacher, she's based in Algeria, and she asked me, Tariq, do you know anything about crypto or USDT? And I'm trying to, you know, stay calm and not look too excited, like, okay, this is actually, you know, this is what I spend all my time on.
Nice.
But I said, yeah, you know, what? Why are you asking? She said, well, for my students in the UAE, there's some trouble sometimes me getting paid, and just the fees are really high if it's in USD. Could you pay me in crypto if you know how to use it? I said, okay, first let me give you my crypto.com referral so we can make the payment even faster.
Very entrepreneurial, I see.
You know? you need to download the app and I'll pay you there. But I mean, it's exactly what you see people doing it that are freelancers and entrepreneurs. And this kind of connects to what we were discussing. Pay is paying in crypto might not be for everyone right now, but those people who are natively working and getting paid in crypto, this is a great option because it lets them, you know, save on fees. They don't have to transfer into fiat and things. Yeah. So it just lets them work with, you know, an asset class they're already very comfortable with.
Has crypto.com ever thought about having their own stablecoin?
Oh, I was about to ask the same. Oh, Barry, so yes.
So I'm, you know, not as of now. We don't have any stablecoin product, and you know, we support I think all of the major stable coins, but you know, from, you know, we probably explore, you know, everything in the space and are really competent, I think, at launching new products. And so no comment. Yeah,
your team has this entrepreneurial spirit which is coupled with law and compliance, so I wouldn't be surprised if I see something like this in the future from you guys. And I'm sure you have been advising other companies or maybe even other government bodies about this as well, because you guys are also experts in this topic of assets, regulation, and how you can blend both in order to make sense.
Mm. Yeah, I think that's one of the favorite parts of my role is when I get to represent all the good things that we're doing and how it's done. We've done workshop sessions with our regulators where they can just see in a more kind of informal setting, open dialogue and questions of how do you guys look at this? How would you address these types of issues that you see? And we've done the same for our bank partners. And, you know, people will sometimes ask me, okay, you know, what's the secret behind being able to get, you know, licensed the way you have or bank accounts? I said, you know, there's no secret. This is just applying best practices and creating, like, I think good dialogue and partnerships that we're both addressing something that is new from risk standpoint and a product standpoint. So this is something that I really enjoy being part of because it's something both parties are learning about, and I love being, you know, seeing the lights go on for people at the bank saying like, okay, you actually, some of the tools and things you're doing are way more advanced than we have at our disposal. We wish we could get, you know, our hands on that. So I think still in some of the early days where you're seeing the cross section of digital assets and traditional financial services, that, you know, we have to work as a partner, not kind of work against it.
And I have to say, really admire and appreciate your commitment to compliance, to regulation, to strong governance. And also, this is the case from my experience, I think Demetrios, you're as well, how traditional finance companies then appreciate that. And this is many times a strong foundation for a top partnership with a player. I think maybe I can, you know, compliment you and add there, you have a very strong partner there on the banking side, I think in the region, which is Standard Charter, you know. So would love to hear that, how that materialized, how is that working, and what are your plans, you know, for the region and globally?
So Standard Chartered partnership is something that myself and the team in Singapore started working on a few years ago, where this was our first kind of test case for the bank to work with a VASP in terms of onboarding them to
explain a little bit what is a VASP.
Many
will know, but some will not know.
Industry terminology there, but virtual asset service provider. And that's more the bank terminology. So they have their like VASP onboarding standards. Simply put, how does a bank work with a crypto exchange? And so, this was almost a year in the making from the start. And these are relationships that, you know, some of the team had from their own banking days and things. And we had to basically from A through Z and repeating that many times over, showing how our operations work, how our controls work from full KYC requirements, AML, any kind of edge case scenario, how would we address it? Things like the travel rule, on-chain monitoring, you know, customer due diligence lifecycle.
Can you explain a little bit what is the travel rule? Because we had many guests and nobody explained what is this travel rule.
I guess this. I was the guest meant to explain this.
We have compliance.
Okay,
Since you're a specialist in this field, maybe it's good to hear your opinion and your description.
So I'll try to boil it down to just the most easy kind of description. It's when two exchanges are making a transfer. So from, let's say, customer A on one exchange to customer B on the next, the travel rule means the customer's information has to travel with the transaction. So my, let's say I'm sending over what the each amount is different in each jurisdiction, but let's say it's usually about, you know, $1,500. I'm sending that in Bitcoin to Anton here, and they're going to say it's going from Tarek. He is a UAE resident, and just the basic information that's also in SWIFT. The second exchange receives that. They see, okay, no kind of sanctions or AML issues on the transaction. It's clear the same way that your bank does it for SWIFT. But this is not on the blockchain, that information isn't carrying. So how do we transfer it? And that's the big challenge that exchanges are trying to tackle now. There's a lot of solution providers out there that are doing, you know, good work in the space. But one concern now is you might limit it to more closed loop solutions, because if you can't comply with it, then you won't be able to be licensed in many jurisdictions, because this is a FATF requirement for the travel rule. Or you limit it to first party. And then non-custodial wallets or private wallets is a whole nother issue, because how do you verify ownership? So there's solutions where there's like a Satoshi test you could do, or private key signing. So this is still a bit clunky, but travel rule is definitely, you know, a challenge. And that for example, is we kind of share what our approach to this and how we practically try and kind of tackle travel rule issues with, you know, with our regulators and banks, and we understand what it looks like today versus what we'll be doing in 5 years is going to be completely different. The same way SWIFT was when we first launched the banks that are on the network, the ones that are, the quality of the information, the standards for the data, have significantly improved.
Yeah. Just to ask one question, I think maybe for the audience would be good to clarify as well, and then we can go back
sure,
to the
yeah.
topic of Standard Chartered. Is you mentioned that the travel rule is applied when two VASPs actually mm-hmm. are, let's say that we're sending assets between two VASPs. Does it work the same as well globally or locally
yeah.
when two private wallets are sending each other's crypto?
No, there's no okay. there's no intermediary institution there.
Yep.
So if I'm going from my like crypto.com DeFi wallet
yeah.
to your MetaMask,
yeah.
there's no, this is a technology solution for wallets,
so
right?
The travel rule doesn't apply then actually.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Because the travel rule is tied to essentially the KYC data that yeah. the institution has on file, the same way SWIFT information travels from, you know, bank A to
yes.
bank B in a wire transfer.
That was clear answer actually.
Yeah.
I'm asking because many times people talk about extending the travel rule to non-VASPs actually, right? So that
sure.
And then I think also then the argument many times is, well, when we exchange cash, you know,
yeah.
like this, there is no actually
middleman.
Exactly. Well, so I think that's a good analogy and a good explanation why
it's a great analogy.
Applied,
and yeah. actually, I'm glad you said that because I make the same analogy all the time.
No, where
it's one that I've spoken to about private wallets with the regulators and banks where cash deposits are fine. If you do too much, then maybe you
yes.
have EDD or more scrutiny on the account. But fundamentally, it's no different. And you have more information on the source of the deposits. You could have a private wallet and risk score, you know, a few transactions out, what kind of activity is done. It assigns a risk score. So you have a bit more comfortable where maybe cash is cash. You just have, you know, who's holding it.
Okay.
So that's something that you'd have to look at more of a technical solution to do it. And I know there's some projects out there that are more like a KYC-oriented token,
yep.
where if you and I are transferring it,
yep.
maybe that's a part of the smart contract. It has our information on it. So that would be a solution there. But this is still very, I think, limited in what's being done.
Okay.
So maybe let's go back to Standard Chartered.
Yeah, back to Standard.
I think we covered compliance
yeah,
very strongly.
Yeah, so I mean, but it's relevant because that's yeah. the focus. And so what we were able to do after this extensive due diligence session with the bank to get them comfortable to onboard us, you know, it's typically they'll have corporate accounts first. Once they get to know your business and are, mm-hmm. are okay with what they can expect from your general activity, then client money accounts is kind of step two. The Singapore banking network is on the FAST network, so it's extremely good, right?
Yeah.
This is one of the premier fastest way for peer-to-peer bank-to-bank transactions. So our immediate feedback from customers was, you know, this is brilliant. I make my Singapore dollar deposit into the Standard Chartered account, and within minutes, and
yeah.
afterwards it's instant with crypto.com. So then you have your fiat wallet balance, and from there you could buy Bitcoin with it or other cryptos that we support. Or if you sell your Bitcoin, then it'll be shown in a balance in your fiat wallet, and then
yeah.
you can withdraw it back to your own bank account. So this doesn't seem, you know, so revolutionary, but when you're talking in crypto terms, this is, I mean, it's amazing and not widely available. So the relationship there in Singapore ran very successfully, you know, and to this day is. And the in our regional offering out of the UAE, of course, we wanted to do the same.
Yes.
But we're reaching a wider geographical base here as a rest of world regional hub. So we have USD supported as well as dirham. And
yes.
one thing, if you know, we could think about doing this again is have AED faster, because the interest in it in the local market is, I mean, that's what everyone prefers to use.
Yeah.
So that was something we kind of, or I learned that your currency of choice for any, you know, remittances or payments is good, is just going to be in AED, even though your bank has multi-currency capabilities.
Maybe also just to expand a little bit on the offering in the region, in Dubai. So you mentioned that you have the full exchange license. So what kind of products can people trade? So is it only spot? Is it margin trading, perpetual staking? Copy trading, what do you have there just for maybe to expand a little bit? Yeah,
yeah. So from product suite, we're fortunate here where most of our products can be offered. And that's what's made this such a great kind of regional base for us. So we have our main app, which is our retail offering. Yep. So that's where you can buy, sell, transfer over 250 different crypto assets. And then what you were referring to is our exchange. So this is a more order book based advanced trading platform. So the offering is both for institutions and retail. Yeah. So that I kind of say, you know, my mom would probably use the app, but I would probably use the exchange because I'll be more price sensitive and, you know, want something that's has more advanced kind of interface and web-based tool for trading. We are part of the derivatives pilot program with Vara. So we were authorized to offer derivatives to institutions and qualified investors. Margin is part of that, but spot trading and, you know, I think more kind of advanced trading products we are offering what we can as of now, but looking to continuously expand that. And as I mentioned, we acquired an entity in Abu Dhabi to start offering more traditional financial services at hopefully a near date in the future here. And outside of UAE in Bahrain, we hold a payment service provider license with the Central Bank of Bahrain. And we are a principal member with MasterCard. So that means we can self-issue our own cards. Mm-hmm. So regionally and to some rest of world markets, we have our crypto.com MasterCard prepaid card, where you can top up the card with your crypto holdings and spend anywhere MasterCard is accepted. And, you know, we are a principal member in multiple markets with Visa as well, like Singapore, Australia, Europe, UK. And this is, you know, one of our earliest products and most successful is the crypto card, where it's a great intertwining of crypto and traditional payments, and you can physically hold the card, and it's a cool, very cool product. Yep. It's a metal card. People really love to show it off, and acquirers and merchants are kind of none the wiser that maybe that, you know, you're topping up with crypto, but you're spending like anyone else.
I think we reversed engineer what is crypto.com. maybe we didn't get the chance to ask Tariq what is crypto.com.
Yeah.
Is it an exchange? Is it a payment provider? Is it both? Because you mentioned you cater both to retail and to institutions.
Yeah.
So what would you say crypto.com is?
Well, my answer now is a little different than it may have been a year ago, where we're basically like a financial services digital asset native kind of super app, where In some markets, we already have, like the U.S. stock trading is available. We have prediction markets in the U.S. Yeah. to go to, along with our kind of core competency of crypto trading. So we have retail-focused products like the app, institutional-focused products like the exchange. You've probably seen our Bitcoin to USD volumes are some of the highest of any exchange globally, and that's because we have the both exchange infrastructure and banking support that makes this necessary, and work with some of the, you know, top institutional traders globally. And but then we have other things like NFT platform. We have a pay, as we've talked about. So it's really a wide range of services, but it all comes down to our kind of core mission, and it's cryptocurrency in every wallet. So that's for anybody, right?
If you're
everyday person or you know, the most advanced kind of financial institution.
I always said if you have a mission statement that is bigger than one sentence, nobody remembers it.
Exactly. But I think I really like mentioning it's a super app where you have many different products and services. But also would love to hear your thoughts about the future of crypto.com and maybe about the crypto industry as well. We touched upon that, you know, we were preparing for the podcast. about the trends and the narratives for the next 5 years. And looking at the region, looking at the UAE and Dubai and Abu Dhabi, tokenization is a very big word. Yes. Real world assets is something very, very strong here in the region, where people are putting a lot of efforts trying, you know. So how do you see this trend, you know, maybe personally, but how do you see it for the future? Is RWA still behind? Will it ever catch up to the promises? What are your thoughts around that?
Yeah, so on the crypto.com side, I think you're going to see a lot more of the kind of traditional financial services coming into our ecosystem. So stock trading and these kinds of things that we already have live, and looking to, you know, expand into to more markets there. And I think we'll see more, and just now speaking for the crypto industry in general, more partnerships with large banks, large, you know, I think government institutions. This is going to be, I think now there's a comfort level where, okay, this is here to stay. Yep. We have to get involved or get left behind. And we've seen locally here in the UAE, some banks that are now offering Bitcoin and Ethereum kind of spot buy and sell to be able to do. And right now, I think none of it's happening, you know, in a wallet environment where you can deposit or withdraw. But, you know, I think that's next, where banks are going to have, you know, wallet infrastructure, custody. And we see some banks doing that. And stable coins are, I feel like, kind of the topic of the year almost, where interbank settlements and large scale like remittances, I think, will be integrated on stable coins, and maybe customers are none the wiser, but they're making crypto transactions.
Yeah.
Real world assets is now coming up a lot, where I think it's, we want to see, or I think, you know, as an industry, but also with our partners in regulators, and I think in the innovation side, want to see more of these use cases developing, and I think and maturing. But there's still questions of, you know, who's the target audience and market for buying a tokenized ownership of an apartment. I think it's great in theory, but we haven't seen this at a everyday scale quite yet. So that's something I'm following closely here. But we've seen this work really successfully for commodities. I think Pax Gold token is what, 800 plus million market cap right now, and that's absolutely amazing. So those types of things really make sense and are perfect to you know, digitalize and make more freely movable. Like, you know, if you think about moving a full gold bar compared to doing it on when it's on the blockchain is something that makes a lot of sense. But my own experience going through buying a home and some of this, paying in crypto, or the title process having blockchain being integrated, would have made things much easier and cheaper. So would love to see that. But obviously we see how focused the UAE and especially Dubai government is on these types of projects. Recently, a few companies I think have been licensed to do this. So I think we're kind of in a wait and see stage right now.
I wanted to ask your thoughts also about the future of the crypto industry. Where do you think all of this kind of moving, you know, from the biggest companies? So, for instance, what I noticed, something that we have here in the region, is a lot of transactions, M&A, right? Yeah. So we had Tungsten from our dear friend Jose.
Yes.
That was bought over, I think it's the process of completing, with Zodia, right? We had Deribit recently sold to Coinbase. Yeah. We had Binance getting an investment from Sovereign Wealth Fund, or one of the entities close to the Sovereign. So Kraken buying NinjaTrader, right?
Right.
Yeah. Yes.
So how do you see this, you know, because we were talking, you very nicely mentioned the merger between real world, traditional world, crypto, Web3 world, coming together. Is TradFi going to take over Web3 crypto? Is crypto going to be slowly eating up Web3? What are your thoughts? Yeah. Not speculating about what crypto.com, but what are your thoughts, especially maybe in light of all of these significant transactions,
Yeah, well, so the first thing that you notice about some of these acquisitions and partnerships and things that have happened, these are from firms that have, you know, put that focus on localizing their business, becoming regulated, kind of doing things the right way. So that gives financial institutions the comfort to be able to do business with them. But I still think we are very specialized in what we do, that I don't think there's some imminent takeover coming. I think you've been in some, you know, met with people that are in the banking world, and it's definitely early days, I think, with them working with companies like ours. So I don't see some hostile takeover by the bankers any day soon. But we're aiming to you know, partner and I think modernize some of their services and integrate with us in a way that's super exciting, where we could power crypto trading for banks and fintech companies that were more on the payment side. So definitely, you know, I think exciting things where it just gives people more options and hopefully makes it more competitive. So you hope your kind of consumer and everyday person is getting benefits from this.
Let me touch a little bit upon what Anton's said about this kind of M&A environment that is happening this year, because we've seen the rise of Bitcoin in the last few months.
All-time high.
Yesterday, yeah. Yesterday, yes. Yeah. So
just to mention, yesterday was Bitcoin Pizza Day. So all-time high, amazing. Coincidence. Sorry to interrupt you, but I think also a very interesting anecdote.
But do you see consolidation happening, like a couple of smaller exchanges or payment providers in the region being acquired? Or you think there's going to be mergers between them, or they will be able to get additional capital outside, because now the market is, I think, in a very good position, and they will scale up? What do you think will happen in the environment, especially around this region?
So I think we see this every cycle, right?
Yeah.
And consolidation happens and during the down periods, and you know, I think the bigger companies keep getting stronger, keep, you know, launching in new markets, and you know, certainly that's been the case for us, riding out, you know, bear markets and, you know, kind of hunkering down and just continuing to build, and that's where our focus kind of remains. But you remember some of these early, you know, whether crypto meetups, events, a lot of those companies aren't there anymore, and just whether it's through M&A or just you know, pivoting into other things or just kind of ceasing operations. But I don't know if I'm the best person to give the M&A landscape, but just anecdotally, what I see is naturally people are converging into more trusted platforms, because ultimately you're responsible for, you know, people's money, and now with Bitcoin, you know, hovering at 110,000, the stakes are much higher, and what you need to do in order to, you know, responsibly service these customers. So I think people understand the very public, you know, fraud incidents and hacks and all of these. The market is, I think, much more educated on going to trusted platforms to.
Maybe
to
this is another amazing topic we can talk a little bit about. In the last couple of days, we talked to some of the best security experts in our field.
You're reading my mind. I was about to say this, you know.
We're spending a lot of time together nowadays.
I know, but
should I go ahead? Or?
Yeah. We, our good friend Marvan, who is from Fearsoft, who is one of the leading, shout out to Marvan and Kirill, who are leading Fearsoft. They're a leading cybersecurity company, and we had them on the show, one of the early guests. The biggest fan of crypto.com from a cybersecurity side
I'd love to hear that.
Fearsoft. Yes.
This is a rare shout out, right? Yes. Cybersecurity is normally like. Yes.
But I think you said it very nicely, how much trust is important. Yes. And cybersecurity, especially in the crypto space, is essential. And I just want to say that the compliments that you get from Marvan and Kirill for the cybersecurity that you work is, I think, exceptional. Yeah.
You're one of the few companies that actually pays the bounties.
Yeah. Right.
So this is amazing. I mean, you guys do what you say you do.
Yes, yeah, it's true.
And you are one of the companies that takes the action steps after the bounties. So you really take security serious.
It's, you know, that all credit to our, you know, a security team, and it's a brilliant group who I've worked with them closely over the last 5 years, and just the certifications earned, you know, the testing that's done, the support they give for across every business line and product is amazing. It's such an integrated part of our company, and nothing but the, you know, highest compliments for them. And this is very well deserved, where maybe they probably don't get enough of the recognition that they should. And That's what's kind of a difference maker for us, is cybersecurity and privacy being, you know, at the forefront of everything we do.
Absolutely. Yeah. And move to the topic that we also wanted to touch upon. How was your experience in the last weeks and months with all the crypto events happening in Dubai? Oof, yeah. You had the premier crypto event, Demetrios. You mentioned that you were very strong. So can you tell us a little bit, how was that experience, and maybe where can people find you in the next couple of months? Do you have some events in mind that you personally want to attend? So how was Token 2049, and what does the future look like?
This is, you know, you're excited, but also simultaneously kind of dread that week where you just know you're going to be out of the houses at a very early hour and coming back as, you know, stumbling in late after, you know, multiple parties and the Dubai traffic. And I think, you know, we had exceptionally hot weather here, so it added to I think you know, what's already a busy time. But for crypto.com and our events and getting to meet with our partners and customers, the event couldn't have been better. I think this was a massive success. We had over 2,700 people come through the door to join us, and the feedback is just, I'm still getting messages and emails and things to connect afterwards. And it was just a great, you know, thank you for people who've been supporting us here in Dubai, and all, we had friends and partners from all over the world join us. And it was in a way where this isn't like a panel or discussion. It was just pure fun and for people to enjoy themselves and meet other, you know, crypto friends. And we were super proud in how it went. So, you know, amazing DJ and food and entertainment.
Did you have the committee how to arrange the plan?
You would be very surprised. This was done by just a few people in not as much time as you would have thought. I did not sleep very well leading up to this, thinking, well, what if nobody comes? But, you know, that was the one suggestion. I said, okay, we have to do it at Surf Club, because at the very least people will want to turn up for Surf Club. But with a very small team, and that's how a lot of things are done, where it's just a small group that is very dedicated, and we couldn't have been happier with the results. So I'm still getting, you know, a lot of people saying that was the best party of the week, and so that was great.
I do have to add, I mean, your event was really top, and thank you very much for driving. I do have to add two more events. First, Demetrios, yours at Namos, very Greek style, very strong. Was a pleasure, you know. But also, Tariq, I think I have seen you at the Crypto Polo Cup, perhaps. Yeah, yeah. So our friend Philip Lord, who was also on our show, and Nikita, did an excellent job. I think it was more of a very much...
That was great.
...festive vibe, but an amazing experience, right?
Yeah, I think at the Crypto Polo Cup, I looked around and I thought, I probably know half the people in the room here. It was like the whole Dubai crypto community, and some faces you might only see on social media and things, but it was very cool. And
like Anton's face.
That's what I always compliment.
Thank you for the recognition.
He's the big crypto influencer, so that's who I was alluding to there. And that was a fun one. That was... very hot as well, but what a cool venue and event to kick off what was a great token.
Yes. And Demetrios, how was it organized event in Namos? And a good experience as well on a few hands?
It was a really good experience. Again, we could have taken into consideration the traffic. That's why we extended it an hour or two more, which was nice of the team. Again, the weather, we understood, that's why we put air conditions everywhere. We understood that it's going to be very hot weather. But the vibe was there, and a lot of people came, and a lot of new faces, actually. This is what it's all about. But I will say there were some very, very nice events. And, I mean, shout out to Deribit as well. Yeah, they had an amazing event.
That was pre-announcement of the... transaction or post, don't remember. They looked very happy.
They were happy. they were all extremely happy and extremely pleasant to be around.
Yes.
I got some nice hoodies as well, so thank you guys.
Yeah.
And
you always leave with a lot of good gear from these. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Give a shout out to the Standard Chartered and Zodia Custody event.
That
was wonderful. Got to see a lot of familiar faces there. So that's my favorite part, is just seeing people that you know from all over the world in one place.
The problem with Token 2049 is you cannot make it in all the events.
Yes.
Yeah.
So we registered in many events, and then we had to choose. Making a choice was hard.
Yes.
Discussing a choice with Anton was hard. We end up going in different events as well.
Yeah.
But I think next year will be more organized for sure. I'm sure there's going to be more events next year.
Yeah. So, but I think it's I wouldn't call it a cursed week, but it's definitely something where we had the floods last year.
Yes.
This year, the heat wave. You have to prepare for the worst next year.
Also, the Circle event was amazing. I also had the pleasure to go and see the pitch of their CEO.
Yes.
And talking about stable coins. I know stable coins is a very, very hot topic. And from the news, as we can see, they're in chats with Ripple as well for an acquisition. Will they go IPO? Will they not? Nobody knows. So this is to show that everything that is hot in the market is actually happening in this region.
I think it put the world on notice, right? Dubai is the best place to be in crypto. From US, from Singapore, Hong Kong that I know, they were blown away by what they saw during that week, and just the energy, the variety of just representation of different projects and services here. And I was definitely proud to call Dubai home that week.
Yeah, Tariq, maybe you are aware, or maybe you're even going. I think the last event before we take a break is the Bitcoin Las Vegas.
Yeah,
we are hearing big news. Michael Saylor, Trump family, everybody's coming there. I remember how last year
almost all of my team is going. Yes. Some of them are paying for themselves to go, so they really want to go.
I've been in some crypto group chats where people are asking who's going, because I think the hype is building there.
And if we saw kind of initial steps to that with Bitcoin Mina prior to Abu Dhabi Finance Week.
That was quite good. And Abu Dhabi Finance Week was impeccably planned.
The best event.
This is where we met, if you don't know the story.
Yeah.
We met at the Zuma in Abu Dhabi. And my boss and I were just, we're gonna get quick dinner, one drink, call it a night. And then by the end, we had the entire island of Cyprus joining us and having what was a very, very fun evening, and just great spontaneous kind of crypto night.
Yes, the Cypriot delegation is usually, and together sometimes with Greek, very strong.
I think I should book Zuma the whole week.
Yeah.
All the meetings.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tariq, I have to say it's been really a pleasure, you know.
Likewise.
I think we captured many, many different topics. We still would love to hear from where you're going to be in the next...
We go away, we can hear about trends, what happened in the market.
Yes, of course.
Because he mentioned this market predictor in the app. I haven't used it.
Yes.
I really want to use it, to be honest. Yeah. It got me intrigued.
Hopefully, available here at some point. But in terms of events and things, so obviously kind of event season is slowed down here with summer and things. So looking forward to FinTech Fest in Bahrain. So I'll be there. This is in the fall. And what we're hoping to do is some community kind of crypto and coffee meetups, these types of things with crypto.com is like a community building exercise here. And so more to come there. This is something I'm hoping to kind of get off the ground and just have more after the good momentum we have from our event to keep driving just the community engagement, because that was such a good chance and to see all the people that really love working with us and using our services in one place. So and as you're saying about the prediction market, this is obviously something that as an American and sports fan, I find this fascinating. And what this is the crypto prediction markets that got pretty famous during the election, where you could wager or predict with your crypto an outcome, what's going to happen. So
is this embedded in your app? How does it work?
So in the U.S.
Let's talk about the U.S.
With our CFTC regulated entity that we have sports prediction market. So it's like events contracts through CFTC regulated firm. But this is something where it can be obviously, like, you know, events like we were talking about the election, but we've been focusing primarily on sports. So the NBA playoffs, the college basketball March Madness, and these kinds of events are perfect for it. And I think that crypto and just digital assets in general, it's a perfect on and off ramp to use these kinds of services. So hopefully, you know, we'll see this more available globally.
And it's inside the super app, so it's just the top and it goes to, wow.
Yeah. And this is something where, you know, we're not a sports book or something like that. It's prediction markets. Yeah. So it's, you know, distinct from what you see in some like a betting platform. So it's something different and being events contracts. But I was asked by, in January, a regulator, what was the most interesting crypto product of 2024? And I said, well, it's prediction market. Yeah, I mean, look at the election. Yes. This provided a new set of data where people were actively engaging with their own money on an outcome. And so this is, you know, the U.S. election, obviously drove a lot of back.
Hedge fund managers betting in Trump winning or Trump losing. Like, we're talking millions and millions of dollars.
Yeah. And I thought that was kind of a watershed moment for this product. And now we're seeing just recently who the new Pope was going to be was getting good volumes. And so I you know, check out those platforms here and there because it's just a fascinating new product, and it opened a new audience to crypto who really didn't even, they weren't so aware that they're actually using it. So that's, I love to see these kinds of new ways of engaging segments of customers for crypto.
Do you see any other trends like decentralization, maybe more on the meme coin side, maybe?
You see some cycles there, right? What was it, 4 summers ago or so, the summer of DeFi, where, I mean, I was playing around and staking in these, you know, and doing some yield farming and stuff. It was fascinating and it was, you know, really good learning exercise. But now you have the meme coins, and what I take away from that and into my everyday kind of work is how important community is in crypto, where all, like, you look at a Sui or Solana and things, and there's a lot of protocols that have very similar capabilities, but the community behind it is what drives a lot of activity. And so you can't underestimate that, and that's so unique to crypto, where, let's say, you know, I use one bank, you use another. Yeah. I mean, I'm not cheering it on for any, you know, but crypto's that way where people.
That's why I think the AI tokens should also get focused in communities.
We hope, we pray. We maybe I almost closed the podcast too early, but then to ask the last question, actually.
Close open.
We ask this to all of our guests, you know, and some had very strong thoughts about AI and humanoids and advancements, like when he said Philip was very strong. What are your thoughts about AI? How much do you use AI in your daily life, personally, professionally? It's such a hot topic. What do you think about it?
So right now, at crypto.com, we're using it as part of our, you know, customer service efforts and trying to, I think AI is a perfect tool to kind of clean up some of your operations that, when you add automation, make things cheaper, easier, faster. So solving, you know, anything from complex problems to simple problems with AI that help your operations become more efficient is great. And I think, you know, almost every company that at an international scale is investing in this.
Yeah.
Personal life, I'm trying to get better, I think, to kind of push it to optimize efficiency for me. So organizing emails, my calendar, these, like, you know, make this email sound, you know, more concise. These kinds of things are good. And then actually for, you know, first non-crypto related use here. So for my wife's business, that's, they're looking to do facial scans, and then based on an AI program, it'll recommend what's the best facial service for you to get. So it's super exciting and something, you know, I keep tabs on.
Such advanced like you. I'm still on Zoom doing the minutes with the AI.
So yeah, we talked about privacy and security. Yeah. That's a no-go us. Yeah.
Yes.
I think you do the minutes manually at the moment.
Still pen and paper.
Still.
I think then I will. Should I then slowly close it? But just to say, so Tarek, really, it was a pleasure. And
thank you.
Thank you very much also for opening so much about what Crypto.com is doing here globally, what are the products, the key partnerships. Was very insightful and just had a blast. Really, thanks a lot. It was a pleasure. Demetrios.
We wish you the best and yes. We want you to continue to do exactly what you're doing. I mean, you're doing amazing. And hopefully we'll get to see you again in the future.
Yes.
Because you have a lot of great things going on.
No, I'm honored to be here and thanks for having me. This was very fun and once again, thank you.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Thank you, everyone. Bye-bye.